These like seeds, sowing seeds, a sower sows these seeds. Awesome. Glory to God. Well, before I get into my teaching, I want to welcome back my son-in-law, Caleb, from parts far away, near and far, mostly far. And I think I would say for Rebecca and Caleb, thank you for praying for him. In the past several months, he's been deployed. So we're thankful to have them home for a few days. We collected Rebecca last week in Georgia and drove her and her furry children here. Long road trip with a dog that sings. But out of respect for the word and me, can you turn your phones to airplane mode or off? Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, those of you who've been up here and preached or spoken or prepared something, you know that there's time involved, effort involved, and it's just nice to have people undivided attention and not, this is an important text. I got to answer this text. Oh. Then you listen for a little bit, and then you get another text. Because, you know, people don't respect. And you'll get a text, and that person could be a million miles away, and you get a text, and you'll answer the text rather than listen to me. We're okay with that, right? Okay, cool. You know, the Lord told me to preach this message as if it was the last one I'd ever preach. He told me that last week, too. And I think that we're in a day and a time, and I almost said this during the word gifts because the Lord kind of like pressed this on me, but I knew if I said it during the word gifts, I'd just start preaching and wouldn't stop. So out of respect to everybody else, I just held it back a little bit. But if you really knew that this was the last day on earth or last week or the last season you would be on earth, would you live any different? Would you? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody turned something off back there. Would you live any different? If you knew that this was the last season you had in your life, would you forgive that person that hurt you? Would you let them go? If you knew it was the last time you'd ever see somebody, would you tell them about Jesus? I don't expect direct answers from these things, but can you consider that we need to live that way? Live as if, like the old country song, live as if you're dying, right? You don't have to go ride a bull named Fu Manchu, those of you who know that song, you know, or climb any mountains or jump out of airplanes or anything like that, but shouldn't you? Shouldn't we live in such a way? Because we don't have any guarantees. And this is not a gloom and doom. This is life, folks. This is life. This is our lives. We live. And we need to live in such a way that you don't have a regret. Oh, man, I'll wait. That person hurt me, but I'm going to wait. I'm just holding on to that. Let's let it turn into bitterness. You know, or I'll get to see that person at work and tell them about Jesus next week. Right? If we live like that, what kind of fruit can we expect? So, anyway, I think I'm getting more and more to a point that the only thing I fear is God. And the woman sitting on the fourth pew back there, a little fear of her sometimes. See? Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn with me there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I love this word. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I can't get away from the cross, folks. I can't get away from this message about the cross. Before I went to Latvia and there, and the message I spoke a few weeks ago about the cross for several weeks, just can't get away from the cross. So I'm going to bring you another message about the cross today. Amen? The cross. Real simple message, the cross. What is the cross? Matthew 16. Turn with me to Matthew 16. You can hold your place in 1 Corinthians, but Matthew 16. Those of you here, January 31st, I think it was, I read this scripture. This is the basis of the text, my message. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone, put your name in there if you want to, if you desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, Peter was trying to get Jesus to avoid the cross. Doug preached a while ago. It's really convenient to do that. It's convenient to avoid the cross. But he was telling Jesus, avoid the cross. It's foolish, Jesus, remember? It's foolish. Come on, Jesus. Nobody volunteers for the cross. That's not the way the world does it. How are you going to be a king if you're dead, Jesus? He was schooling Jesus, right? Come on. Let's not all deny that we've done the same thing. Try to school Jesus. Tell him. Let me tell you, Jesus, the way it is, okay? I'm going to tell you the way it is. It sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But we do that when we avoid the cross. My way, Jesus, not your way. Jesus, you're too important for the cross. You'll never be a king if you're dead. See, the cross is a place of painful, inconvenient death. Isn't that exciting? Whoa, sign me up. This is a little hot. Can we turn it down just a hair? Otherwise, I have to whisper, and I have trouble doing that. I don't want to blow anybody out. It's a place of painful, inconvenient death. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:18, we read that. The Apostle Paul is talking primarily about the cross that Jesus died on. It's foolishness to the world, right? He was talking about that. It's foolishness. To Peter, it was foolishness. That's what he's saying. But I submit to you that this cross is not only talking about the cross that Jesus died on, but it's the cross he's called us to carry. It's not just the cross that we all remember every Easter that Jesus died on the cross. That's a beautiful song we sang this morning. It is the cross he died on. Yes, of course, primarily that's what he was talking about. But it's also the cross that he's called you to carry that many times we look at and we say, "That's foolishness, God. I ain't carrying that cross." It's the same thing. It's the same principle. And I submit that to you, that that's also what Paul was talking about. So first of all, let's talk about why the cross is so important for salvation. Initially, that's what Paul was saying. When Jesus died on the cross, he sacrificed his perfect life for us. We all know and we can agree with that. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you know that's where it starts. To the world and to the religious, this is foolishness. To those who have believed in Jesus, believed in his life, believed in his death, believed in his perfect blood, believed in his resurrection, believes in our own adoption as children, if you believe in these things, if you believe in our eternal life, all the amazing benefits that we get as believers, if you believe this, this cross is the power of God. It's not foolishness to us in that respect. Amen? The cross is not foolishness to us because we believed and we trust
And we know we've experienced and we've accepted and we've been delivered, set free, healed. Can I hear an amen? Otherwise, maybe you need to get saved today. Hallelujah. To us, the children of God, we're forgiven, we're accepted, we're loved. This is that cross, this message that we need to bring salvation wherever we go. For every human has a heart to receive. I want to give you a little obscure scripture that you can write down. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says this. I know we don't all spend a whole lot of time reading Ecclesiastes. Amen. How many people spend their lives reading Ecclesiastes? You know, maybe you read it once a year when you're going through the Bible, you know. But here's what it says. I love this. This is eye-opening. When we wonder, gee, I wonder if that person's going to get saved. I wonder if he'll hear the message or she'll hear this message. But it says, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. That God-shaped void that we hear about, I don't know who coined that phrase, but everybody's got a God-shaped void in their lives. Everybody created in the image of God, there's a shape, there's a void in everybody's heart that only God can fill. That's the eternity that the author of Ecclesiastes is talking about. So when you take this message, this foolishness that the world calls foolishness, and you take it out to the world, you know, you can guarantee that the person you're bringing that message to has a heart to believe. It's in there. Don't give up. We heard somebody say that this morning. Don't quit. Don't give up. Right? Never quit. Right, Evie? Never quit. Just stand fast. Don't quit. So this same foolishness can sneak into our own hearts when we contemplate taking up our own cross. God, that cross, you want me to carry that cross? That looks foolish to me. Let me tell you, Jesus, I ain't doing that. I have a better way. Now, maybe you've never told Jesus that with the words I just spoke, but by your actions and your attitudes, we've all done that. I have. We've all done that. I'm not preaching just to you. I'm preaching to me, too. I have experience in telling Jesus, let me tell you, Jesus. I've got experience doing that. Amen? Anybody with me? Am I standing alone? I feel really lonely right now. Circle back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, 22 and 23. Do you get to pick and choose your cross? You don't have to answer yes or no. Think about that. Do a little Selah. Do you get to pick and choose your cross? Did Paul? Did Jesus? You know, we have some choices when it comes to the cross that Jesus calls us to carry. We have some choices. It's really just one choice. It's either obey or don't. It's either obey or don't. Our choosing the cross only has to do with obedience, not the cross that God's called you to carry. The choice is, will I deny myself? Will I take up my cross? Will I follow Jesus? Or will I avoid the cross and offend my Savior? Will I avoid my cross? That's what the Bible says. What did he say to Peter? Peter, you're an offense to me. You want to be an offense to Jesus? And that word offense in Greek is the word scandalon. Any of you ever, maybe when you guys were maybe Boy Scouts or, you know, you learn how to live off the land kind of thing and you set a trap, a snare. You know, you ever seen what a snare looks like? There's many different kinds, but, you know, I had a friend of mine set a snare for a deer once. So I didn't think that was very wise, but they hurt you. Anyway, you set a snare. They teach you that in survival school, how to set snares, right? And you got this little, you know, you bend the sapling over, you put the wire down, you make a loop where the animal will step in. Because you're hungry. This isn't just for fun. Because you're hungry, right? And you put this little stick so that if that little piece of wire gets disturbed, it snaps it back and it catches the prey. That's what that word scandalon means. It's that stick that will snare you. That's what that word means. You might have that in your study Bible. If you have a study Bible, you'll see a little description of that. Trap stick. Metaphorically, it's what causes sin. See, when Jesus rebuked Peter, did Jesus rebuke Peter because Jesus thought that Peter would cause Jesus to sin? I don't think so. Jesus was not in jeopardy of sinning. He wasn't in jeopardy of getting snared and trapped. He spoke that for Peter's sake, for your sake and my sake, that if we avoid the cross, we get snared. We get snared. We get trapped. We become the prey. Who's setting that snare for you and me? Amen? Or maybe the God of convenience might be setting that snare. So Jesus rebuked Peter with the strongest rebuke you ever read about in the Bible. Get behind me, Satan. What? Because Satan is the one who wants you to avoid the cross. He wasn't just talking, when Paul wrote this, he wasn't just talking about Jesus. Amen? Or when Matthew wrote this, rather. This is a lesson for us about avoiding. Because when we avoid the cross, we're caused to stumble. We're caused to fall into temptation and sin. My last message, I shared a little bit about James 1:22. And what happens if, when you hear the word, whether you're reading the word, or somebody gives you a word, or you hear somebody preaching the word, if you hear the word and you realize, wow, that's a word for me, and if you avoid that word, what happens? You're deceived immediately. Self-deceived. That's like the worst. You can't blame it on anybody else, can you? When you're self-deceived, you can't point your fingers at anybody. Can't blame your mom, can't blame your dad, can't blame your country, can't blame the politicians. Can't blame your pastor. Can't blame anybody but you. No finger pointing when it comes to not doing the word. Amen? Scary time. Self-deception. We're living in that time of self-deception of the church-wide where people won't pick up their cross and walk with it. We're living in that time. God is just waiting to see who will hear his voice and go and do. He's just waiting for that. And you know what? One of the biggest reasons why people get deceived is because they're avoiding their cross, the cross that God's calling us to carry. And there's no way around this principle. If you want to follow Jesus, you must take up the cross he points you to. I think that's what the scripture says. If anyone, maybe it should have said, if people who lived in the first century, who met me, desires come after me, then let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Maybe that was mistranslated. Or maybe it means if anyone with a college degree or a seminarian degree, or maybe somebody who has prayed consistently for 25 years, maybe that person should be the one following me. Is that what it says? It says, if anyone desires to come after me. Anyone. And I know for myself, and probably anyone here that I know, I don't know everybody in here, we've all said, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Be bold. How many have said that? Jesus, I want to follow you. Okay, it's good. Be bold. I've said that. I want to follow you. So Jesus says to me, then take up your cross. We read stories in the Bible of like the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he's done all these great, wonderful things. And Jesus told him, well, this one thing you lack. Take everything out, sell it, give to the poor, and come follow me. Whoa. That was his cross. He had to deny himself. This is not an easy message to preach. I will boldly say this, with the authority as a pastor in the Church of Jesus Christ, this church, and as a pastor, one of the fivefold ministry gifts, I will say this, that if you don't take up your cross, you can throw stones at me later, your life is meaningless. I love you, but that's the fact, that's the truth, that's the Word of God. If you don't take up your cross, your life is meaningless. You'll build things for here on the earth, and when you go, you'll leave nothing. and you'll take nothing with you. There's no U-Hauls behind a hearse. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18 also indicates that if you, as a believer, don't take up the cross, then you are perishing. When you don't take up the cross, you're perishing. When you take up the cross, you begin to live. That's when your life begins. That's when things get exciting in Christ. Taking up your cross, you're following Jesus. You've left it all behind and you're going after Jesus. There's a lot of life right there, amen? Like, you know, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. You may think you're gaining, but what are you gaining? Because without embracing the cross, the only thing to gain is the world. How's that going to end? When we truly embrace the cross, it will be evident. You'll walk in His grace. You'll walk in His love. You'll walk in His power. Lord, give me more power. Take up the cross. Lord, give me more love. Take up the cross. Lord, give me more grace. Take up the cross. Don't you think this world needs more grace, love, and power? Who gets to carry that? He's not sending angels to do that job. That would be plan B. As far as I've ever read, God doesn't have any plan Bs. Plan A is you and me. Plan A. That's plan A. There's no other way. So if you don't do it and you build a life and a kingdom to yourself, your life is meaningless. When Jesus is first and I am second, I always have the victory. Sasha preached that over in Latvia to the youth. Talked this whole thing about keeping Jesus first, you be second. I think that little bracelet they gave us said something about that on there. No matter what, if Jesus is first in your life, you'll have the victory. Maybe we should revise the way we greet each other. There'll be a test next Sunday. Let's revise the way we greet each other. Because a lot of times, and we, well-meaning, there's nothing wrong with it, but, hey, how you doing? How's life? ¿Qué pasa? Right? We do things like that. And maybe we should say this. How's your cross carrying today? Write that one down. You heard it here. I said. That's Larry says. How's your cross carrying today? Maybe that's what we should ask each other. Just as a reminder, we're supposed to be carrying a cross. To take up your cross is not just some irritating burden we're ordered to do. A lot of times when we contemplate, and sometimes there's a struggle, and I understand the struggle. You know, God puts this thing in front of you that He wants you to do, and, you know, and it's almost always inconvenient, and almost always may cost you some time, blood, sweat, and tears, that kind of thing. You know, I mean, that happens. And there's a contemplating time, and that's okay. That's fine. It's not an irritating burden. That's what we think sometimes in that time that we're contemplating. Man, this is really going to be irritating. I'm not going to like this at all. What am I going to get out of it? Usually is what it ends up coming down to. What am I going to get out of this? Sometimes we think we're forced to endure. But really what we have to do is renounce self-centered ambition. Embracing your cross requires joy. Can I prove that to you? I mean, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before Him. We need to start looking at this cross that God's calling us to carry as a joy. And that's why it's foolishness to the world. That's another reason why it's foolishness to the world. The world says, you're going to carry what? Jesus. for the joy set before him. You think about that. Man, that's where you die. That's where you have pain. That's where you're shamed. How's your cross carrying today? Hebrews 12, 2, right? This is the kind of sacrifice that ushers in eternity in the hearts of men. Like that scripture in Ecclesiastes. Eternity is in the hearts of man. This is the kind of thing that will usher it in your life. And then whether it's one of your clients, your neighbors, your coworkers, that's the kind of sacrifice that ushers it in. This is what brings you and I into the fullest experience of the kingdom right now. Mark chapter 10, 29 through 31. Turn over there with me. Mark, we wonder, okay, what's in it for me? Well, there is something in it for you. It's okay. There's something in it for you. Mark chapter 10, 29 to 31. Oh, and by the way, this is in red, so it's important. Right? It's in red. Jesus said this, so it's important. I think it's the truth. What do you think? Right? I think this has got to be the truth because it's in red. So Jesus answered and said, you know, the disciples were to say, hey, we left everything and followed you. Here's what Jesus said. Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Man, I want to scratch that part out. But I guess I can't because it's in red. It must mean something. Yeah, there's going to be persecutions in this life. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, for all your promises, including persecutions. It's there, right? Is it in your Bible? Does it say that? Okay, good. I'm glad I don't have some defective Bible. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. 100-fold return now. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me, right? We all know that verse. This crucifixion, this cross, we're living for Jesus. Amen? So there it is, another cross message. Another call for being inconvenienced. Another call to die to self. Another call to sacrifice. Picked up this book when I was putting this together. A book that really, one of my favorite authors, Mark Batterson, he wrote this little booklet. It can't be more than 25 pages long. It's called All In, or Going All In. It's pretty cool. It probably cost you $5, you know, online to get it. But right in the very beginning, this is a story. And I didn't write it word for word, but 100 years ago, there was a group of missionaries who were called one-way missionaries. 100 years ago. One-way missionaries. They purchased one-way tickets to go out, and instead of suitcases, they packed their necessities in coffins. Pine boxes, coffins. One-way missionaries. This is history. This is church history. When they waved goodbye at the port to their loved ones, the likelihood of them ever seeing each other again on this earth was slim to none. I mean, 100 years ago, things were a little different. A man named A.W. Milne was one of these missionaries. He sailed to the island of New Hebrides in the South Pacific. There was headhunters on this island. These headhunters had killed every other missionary that had ever been sent to them. I don't know how many, he doesn't say, but, you know, they didn't do that research. They killed them all. And he felt called from God to go to New Hebrides and preach the gospel. So he sailed there. Milne didn't fear for his life because he'd already died to himself. He took up his cross. He died himself. He had his coffin ready. He'd packed. He lived with and loved these islanders for 35 years. They didn't martyr him. The ones who went before paved the way. Amen? A lot of times we get the way paid for us. I love you. Hi. I didn't. For Linda. Well, turn the microphone on so they can hear too. It's okay, Linda. It's all right. So for 35 years, he lived with them, loved them, preached the gospel to them. And when he died, they buried him in the middle of their village and inscribed this epitaph on his tombstone. Quote, "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness." This is the life of sacrifice and following and taking up your cross. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in your world. Not all of us are called to carry a cross to New Hebrides or Africa or any, you know, we're not all called to do the same thing. Not everybody's called to do what he did. But the principle is the same, isn't it? Dying to yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. That's the divine end of carrying your cross. We can start that here. Carrying your cross starts right here at home. If you can't carry your cross here, how can you carry it anywhere else? I love you very much. It's a pleasure to be up here. And like I said, I'm not afraid of anybody, really, except for that one person I pointed out, and God. And I have to be transparent and say what I sense that God is saying to us, the old-timers, people who've been here for a while. And this is not, please don't take what I'm about to say as condemnation, because I am not condemning anyone at all. You know, like I said before, I'm preaching this message to me as well. So, you know, if I'm pointing at you, three fingers are pointing back at me, right? Right? So I'm being tripled compared to what I'm pointing out there. And I won't put my thumb up because that's accusing God to me. You know, right? If you're accusing somebody, you're putting your finger at somebody, you know, it's your fault, you did this, it's because of you that my life is in shambles, whatever. Well, three times of that is coming back right at you, and one is you're accusing God, right? So, you know, just... I'll just point them all back at me. Maybe one at you. You know, our church and the church as a whole is at a crossroads of the cross. I really think so. You know, things have gotten much more convenient these days, and it's easy for us to back off and not do what God's called us to do. It's easy. You know, Doug preached that word a while ago, that convenience thing. I mean, that hit me hard. I mean, that's a good word. Judas waited for a convenient time. You know, so if it's going to be convenient, you got to be aware. Because typically following Jesus is not convenient. So I preached a message January. I thought there would be a little more corresponding action, but let me ask Wayne. Did you have people knocking down your door, volunteering help in the last month? Wayne! Hey, I'm ready to volunteer to help whatever you need to have done. Okay. Okay, maybe a couple. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. I don't want to just, you know, categorize everybody in the same boat. But this is what I'm talking about. Corresponding action. What happens when you don't act on the word that I preach or Wayne or Doug or anybody? You hear a word from the Lord. If you don't act on it, what happens? You get deceived immediately. Where can I serve, Wayne? Where can I help? I'm not going to look at anybody because I'm not pointing at anybody in my mind either. Wayne, I'll step into children's ministry. I'll help the youth. I'll change diapers. I'll clean up. I'll volunteer for this. I'll volunteer for that. It's just me. Maybe I just have a little frustration. I know. You never get frustrated. He's so calm and easy. I'll just be the frustrated pastor up here. I'll take it. I'm only afraid not to say what God says. Okay? And this is what God told me to say. So if you feel convicted, praise God. Take up your cross. If you feel condemned, then it's not for me and it's not from God. Okay? So this is our church. This is our family. And is there not a cause right here? Is there not a cause right here? Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal
for the prize of the upward call. Press. Any of you who've been athletes before, you got to press towards the finish line. If you don't press towards the finish line, someone else will and beat you. It's not that kind of competition. Don't get me wrong there. Apostle Paul used some sports analogies, you know, boxing and running. You got the press. And guess what? It's an upward call. It's not a level path call. It's an upward call. There's going to take some effort. You're going to have to control your breathing. You're going to have to stay in shape spiritually. Amen? Maybe physically too. It's an upward call. And it's a climb. It may sometimes be vertical. It may be a steep pitch. There might be some downhills. There may be some ravines. Maybe some mud and mire. Those of you who've been in Christ long enough have fallen into a lot of that, walked through a lot of it, pressed through, slogged. Is that a word? Slogged. Pushed with the debris on your feet, smelling like the mud now and then. But we are called together to do this. You're not called to do this all by yourself. You're called to walk. And those words we had during the word gift time were just precious to me. You know, it's not so much fertilization, but it's also cross-pollination. You know? That's why you can't have just one apple tree, right? You got to have a few of them. You can't just plant one kernel of corn because you'll get no fruit. You got to plant a bunch of them. They got to cross-pollinate. So I encourage you to cross-pollinate today. Encourage each other. You know, the day is coming. Hallelujah, I'm excited. You know, things are getting more and more exciting. You know, the gospel is going to get more and more powerful in our lives if we walk and carry our cross. Amen. Okay, you still love me? Hallelujah. That's okay. You don't have to answer. I can take it. I only fear him. And let's pray. Let's stand and pray. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for this time. And Lord, whatever I said that was from your heart, and I know many things were, Lord, let them be remembered and acted upon. Lord, none of us want to be deceived. None of us want to go out here with a meaningless life. We want to walk with meaning. And Lord, whatever cross is that you've called us to carry, Lord, show us once again that we would embrace it. We'd follow after you, that it would be said of us that when we came, it was dark, and when we left, it was light. Father, we just thank you, Lord. That is within our hearts, Lord, to help plant eternity in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. It's a great, great, great privilege to obey you. It's a great, great, great privilege to follow you, Lord, because you are mighty. You are the King of Kings, and you know what's best for us. Lord, forgive us for the times we schooled you or tried to. Forgive us for those times where we said no. Forgive us for those times, Lord, that we delayed. Forgive us for those times that we procrastinated on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your peace as we contemplate these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.